Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to our Saturday, April 25th, Sunday, April 26th radio broadcast, the 30-minute broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit. And remind you that many of these stations carry our daily radio broadcast Monday through Friday. And you can get all of these broadcasts at gbiradio.org. That's gbiradio.org. Well, this is the final weekend of our Reaching America with the Gospel Project as far as me mentioning it on the radio. But I have done that for the last 3 months. We've had a lot of people respond. We've been able to go on one station in Omaha, Nebraska, and we're looking to go on another one, and we're hoping we can do that. We lacked about $3,100, and we're trying to raise that during this month to go on. And, of course, if more comes in, we could take on more. But I hope that the Lord will allow us to go on another one, and we're certainly glad to be on in Omaha. We thank the Lord for that. And I welcome all of you to our broadcast every week. You're getting this at 12:30 Central Time on Saturday there in Omaha, Nebraska, over radio station KLNG Radio. And I appreciate all of you that are listening. I hope that you'll pray for us during this time. If you'd like to make a check on this project, make it to GBI. And then if you'd like to mail it, GBI Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Hope you'll pray for us, put us on your prayer list, and pray each and every week that God would help us to be a blessing as we can. And check our website out, gbiradio.org. I'd love for you to do that, and there'll be a lot of things on that website that will help you. You can also download our app. It's in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. That's the GBI Radio app. And on that app, you'll have access to our radio stations and also to our preaching station and also to my Gospel Pulpit. Radio broadcasts are there also on the app. It's been a great joy to be with you on radio this month of April. I hope the Lord is blessing you. I hope you'll be found in a good church on Sunday worshiping God. You know, America needs to turn to God. Amen. It's not liberal and conservative, but it's saved and lost. And America needs to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and accept Him as Savior. It's not by works, not by anything you do. Don't matter what I believe or what you believe. It only matters what the Bible says. Amen. And the Bible is the Word of God. And we'd have men to turn to Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, will you help our listening audience today? And if there's one today that is not saved, I pray that you'll help them to realize that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for their sin. And I pray you'll help them to accept that and ask you to save them. You said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Lord, that you do, we thank you in Jesus' name. Bless our Reaching America project as it's in its final time that we'll mention it here on the radio for this year as far as raising money for it. I pray you'll give us what we need, not what we want, but you just do what you want to do. Have your will your way. Help people open their hearts and do that they just need. Thank you. Thank you for all what you've already done and those that have already given and what we've already been able to do. Thank you so much, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to a message today. We're at message number 40 in the life of David, and we preached about 76 messages on this subject thus far, and we've not recorded any lately, but we probably will not go all 76 messages here on this broadcast, but we are going to play message number 40, and it starts a message entitled Three Eras, and I hope it'll be a blessing as you listen today. Now we come to message number 40 in the study of the life of David. And we're looking today in 1 Samuel chapter number 20. 1 Samuel chapter number 20. And as we continue our study, I'm going to read one verse here, and then I'm going to come back and preach the message today. Now the message is entitled Three Eras. Three Eras. Our text verse is 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 20. Jonathan is talking here, and I will shoot three arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark. Now, Father, would you help us as we study this message in Jesus' name? Amen. Now, there'll be a ways into the message before we get to back to the text verse. But the message is basically all about this. It comes down to Jonathan and David realizing that Saul does mean business, and Saul is wanting to kill David. And so it hangs on three arrows. If he shoots them in one place, it means that Saul has got peace with David. If he shoots them another way, it means that Saul meant evil toward David. And of course, we know that Saul did. So let's just look at it. We'll look at verse number 1. If you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter number 20, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramoth and came and said before Jonathan, 'What have I done?'" The Bible said, "What is mine iniquity, and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" Now, let's go back for just a minute. David is with Samuel in Naoth in Ramoth. And remember, Saul comes down there to kill him. Saul sends messengers, and Samuel's down there, and they're prophesying. And these messengers, they don't, instead of killing David, they go to prophesying. He sends some more messengers, and they go to prophesy, and he sends some more, and they go to prophesy. And at the last, Saul came himself. Remember that? And then he stripped his clothes off and prophesied naked like a crazy man. And so we come from that to this. Now, I don't know what had happened there. I guess Saul left and went on back wherever he was. And now David has fled from Naoth. Now, somebody has sort of criticized David for that and said, well, maybe he shouldn't have fled. I don't know. The Bible, you did use the word fled. Now, he was in the protection of the man of God, and he was in protection of the prophets of God, but he decided to go get to the bottom of things. Now, whether he's right or wrong, I don't know. But I would say this about that. We are never to move in our Christian lives based on fear, all right? We're never to move. We're never to move. Now, somebody said David was in the flesh when he fled. Verse 1, "And David fled from Naoth in Ramoth." Now, he fled. In other words, he got out of there. And David became a little bit fleshly here. Now, David's a man that God's already told him, "You're going to be king." But before we really criticize David too much, what would you and I have done in his place? Amen? But we do need to be careful of panic and fear, and it is gripping America. I'll be honest with you, saved people are bothered with panic and fear. I must confess that a lot of my life has been involved in that. I guess it was the way I was raised or whatever, I don't know. But I say this to you, we need to learn to trust God and not to panic about things. I think about some scripture that I read just a few weeks ago. I was reading in the book of Mark how that the women were coming to the sepulcher on the first day of the week. And they asked, "Who's going to roll us away the stone?" And when they got there, there was no stone. Now, many times we worry about the stone that is not there. Somebody said worrying is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, never get you anywhere. And my mama used to tell me, said, "Ricky," she said, "you'd worry because there's nothing to worry about, because you got nothing to worry about." And so David here was turned to the flesh a little bit and fled and ran. The Bible does talk about sudden fear. Now, the context of it is God judging the wicked, but in Proverbs 3:25, "Be not afraid of sudden fear." Now, you know, you listen to the news in this world, and you're going to do a lot of panicking. I told you the story. I turned the news on a few months ago. I thought, well, I'll give it a try and listen to it. I've just been away from it for the last several years. And the man said, well, the power grid's going to crash and 90% of us are going to die. I thought, well, I don't like that. And so I'd rather read my Bible and stay encouraged in the Lord. And it seems to me that I'm a lot more happier since I'm not following the news and all that is close. Now, I'm not saying not keep up with what's going on. I think you ought to. But in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 gives us the remedy for fearing. The Bible said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Then in verse number 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding," all right, the Bible said, "shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." When you pray over something, and God will, you may not understand how God's going to work that out, but God will give you the peace. And what David should have been doing here was praying about his situation, but David just reacted. Now, I'm going to say this. When you react, when you just react, you're going to get in trouble. I want you to know that. One fellow said, it's not how you act, it's how you react. And when you react to a situation in haste, and I've learned this over my lifetime, and I pray to God almost every day of my life to give me wisdom. I want wisdom. I need wisdom. And wisdom is not what I thought it was in my young days of preaching. And when I learned wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge, knowing how to be skillful. And I want wisdom about everything in my life. And so David should have prayed here for wisdom, but instead he fled. Now, look in verse number 1. He said, he comes to Jonathan, and this is what he said. He said this, he said, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" Well, I don't think David had to think hard to know what it was. David knew that God had told him he was going to be king, and that Saul didn't like that. And so David assumed, now here David did something wrong. David assumed here in chapter number 20 that Jonathan knew about the plot to kill David. Now, David and Jonathan were friends, and we looked at that earlier in our study about how they were both of them were Christ-like, and they were friends, by the way. But David wrongly assumed of his friend here that his friend knew something that he didn't know. Now, we got to be careful in our lifetime that we do not assume things about people. Amen. They already know things. Amen. David assumed that Jonathan knew the plans to kill him. All right. Now, Jonathan didn't know those plans. Now, look at verse number 2, 1 Samuel 20 and verse number 2. And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will eschew it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Now, not only did David do wrong, David assumed that Jonathan knew. Jonathan didn't know, but Jonathan also did wrong. Jonathan was one-sided in the fact that he put too much trust in his father. Now, it is true that Jonathan was sort of a right-hand man to Saul. And it is true that Jonathan had won a great victory against the Philistines. But Saul was bound and determined to get rid of David. And Saul necessarily would not have told Jonathan about it. Now, Jonathan was wrong there. Now, let me just say it this way, and I want to be kind about it. Sometimes in church work, we get one-sided when it comes to family. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, I had a man tell me this." You ever heard this, "Blood's thicker than water"? Now, let me say this. You don't get that out of the Bible. And let me say this. There was a man in the Bible. Let me give you an instance in the Bible. There's a man named Barnabas in the Bible. You remember him in the book of Acts? A man named Barnabas, and Barnabas determined to take John Mark with him. And Paul thought it not good. Now, John Mark was Barnabas's nephew. Now, Barnabas was one-sided. And so it ended up splitting up Paul and Barnabas. Now, I've studied the Scriptures. I've read the book of Acts through more than probably any other book of the Bible that I've ever read. And I do not find that God used Barnabas after that. I feel like God removed his hand. Now, Mark got right with God, and God used him. But Barnabas was looking to his family. Now, here Jonathan was looking to his family. When you have a church issue come up, it does not necessarily mean you ought to go with your family. You ought to go with God. And by the way, I'll just say something, and some of you will find this a little hard. You shouldn't even go with your kids. If your boy or your girl is wrong, you should go with God. Amen. It does not mean that you take up for family regardless of what they do. Brother, you will not find that in the Scriptures. Amen. And so Jonathan here, he was a little bit one-sided about that. And David had to kind of straighten him out on it. Now, here's what David said. If you notice in verse number 1 Samuel 20, verse number 3. The Bible said, "And David sware moreover and said, Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this thing, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Well, now he kind of told the truth there. And he kind of rebuked Jonathan. He sort of let him know, hey, Saul's not letting you know this because you're my friend. And I'm telling you, this is a serious situation. There's a step here between me and death. Now, David was in danger. But let me say, God had already anointed him to be king. And God was going to take care of him. But in David's mind, at this time, he got weak. And David got in the flesh. And David got, and by the way, when we get to thinking about our circumstances, we'll get weak and we'll get in the flesh. And we'll think, well, boy, it sure can't work that way. But let me say that if God has laid it out in the Bible and God has told you to go a certain course, no matter how bad it looks or how it is, it will work out. All right? God will help. Now, let me say this to you. Jonathan didn't mean any harm about that. Jonathan loved his daddy, and Jonathan really thought that his daddy would tell him. And I think David was right here. And there is a step. Amen. It was a dangerous time for David. But he should have remembered what God had already said to him. David should have remembered what God did for him. And sometimes we get in the battle and we forget what God's already done for us and what God's already said to us. You know that? We really do. We get in the battle and we get in there and we get to fighting, and boy, the devil, he gets to discourage us. Now, let me say this to you. One preacher said this many years ago. He said, the devil's biggest tool is the tool of discouragement. And I would almost, I would agree with that preacher. I believe that the biggest tool of the devil is to discourage you. If you're teaching a Sunday school class, I think the biggest tool of the devil is to discourage you in that class. If you're a deacon, I think the devil's biggest tool is discouragement on you. And I know if you're the pastor, the devil's biggest tool is a discouragement on you. I used to go home from pastoring a church, and on Sunday night, the devil would replay the message that I preached and tell me how bad I did and how mean I was and how I didn't preach it right. And boy, had me all discouraged. But now listen, David's talking to Jonathan. He's saying there's a step between me and death. In one sense, he wasn't lying. Saul would have killed him if he could have. But God was on the throne. And David should have remembered 1 Samuel 16:12. The Bible said, and this is Samuel, and this is Jesse, and when they're getting ready to anoint David king. And he sent and brought him in. Talking about David now. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on, goodly to look to. The Bible said, and the Lord said, and his Lord talking to Samuel here, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Now look at verse number 13, 1 Samuel chapter number 16. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him. Now watch this right here. He took that horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now wait a minute. Now there's a lot in this verse, so let's unpack it here a little bit. David had the Spirit of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came upon men. He did not dwell in the believer like he does today. Now, so the Spirit of God came upon David. Now, David should have realized here, he said from that day forward, and David should have realized here that what he was telling Jonathan was not spiritual. David should have realized that the fleeing from Naoth was not spiritual. David did not act very spiritual here. Now, this is a man after God's own heart. This is a man that loved the Lord. But all of us are going to get faced with situations sometimes that we're not going to be as spiritual as at other times, you see. And so David here, he failed spiritually a little bit, and he should have remembered what God had done for him. Now, we move on here, and we look at 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse number 4. The Bible said, then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Now, Jonathan is saying, well, you know, I'll do what you won't do. I mean, sometimes we're going to have these people in life that despise us like Saul, and then we're going to have these people that appreciate us like Jonathan. And Jonathan realizes that David is down here, and Jonathan's his friend. And Jonathan said, all right, said, I'll do what you want me to do. Now, let me stop and say this. Sometimes the devil will point the Sauls out in your life and tell you all the people that don't like you. Now, I know I've been preaching for almost 40 years, and I know that I've got people that don't like me. I know that I've got people right now, if the ministry went under or if I quit preaching, they would glory in that. Now, I believe that. I probably got people out there that would do that. But let me say this to you. I'm not going to focus my life on those people, for I have people that love me. I have people that respect me. I have people that write me letters. I have people that, when I go into their churches, I went into a church to preach the other day, and I met a lady, and she said to me, "Preacher, I've been listening to you on the radio." I had no idea she was listening to me on the radio in that area. Let me say to you that there's people out there, and the devil will have you believe in that. Why, preacher and preacher's wife, the devil will come to you and say, "Nobody in the church likes you." Why, nobody, you might as well leave. Nobody likes you. And if you ain't careful, you'll listen to that kind of stuff. Brother, there's enough people out there that love me to keep me going on. Amen. I am not going to, some people say, "Well, I've been hurt with people, and I'll never let anybody get close to me." Well, I'm going to say something about that. I think that's the wrong thing for you to do. I think this, I've had some people let me down in life, and I know that people are flesh, and I'm going to trust the Lord, but it ain't going to stop me from loving my brothers and my sisters. Amen. You know, if I live in any more length of time in life, I'll have some more people letting me down, but I'll have some that will stick with me and will love me. So here, Saul was letting David down, and I think David was having a hard time with that, because he went to Jonathan. He said, "What have I done? I mean, what's my sin?" And I think he's having a hard time because he was loyal to the king. David was a very, very patriotic young man. He loved his country. By the way, we ought to be patriotic. We ought to love our country. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, instead of saying all the bad that's in our country, maybe we ought to be praying about our country. There's still some good in our country. Amen. We're still fed. We're clothed. We're warm. We're cool in the summer. We have a strong military. We're a great nation, and we ought to look at it that way. God has blessed us. God has blessed America. He's blessed us. So now, but we move on. We find that David here was, he was worried about the step between him and death, but Jonathan was being afraid. He said, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it." 1 Samuel 20, verse number 5. And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I shall not fail to set with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even." And then look at verse number 6, chapter 20, verse number 6. "If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family." Now wait just a minute. Well, let me just go ahead and read verse 7, and then I'll come back. The Bible said, "If he say, thus it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him." Verse number 8 says, "Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee." All right, notwithstanding, if there be, this is what David's saying to Jonathan, "Notwithstanding, if there be iniquity in me, slay me thyself, for why should thou bring me to thy father?" Now, there's a lot in these verses that I want to cover. First of all, it was a wise thing that David did here. David, now I'll come back to it, but David's going to lay the, as old fellow said, where the rubber meets the road. David's going to lay it out, and he's going to say, "We're going to settle this once and for all." Jonathan really didn't believe that Saul was going to kill David. David believed he did. And David said, "All right, we'll put it to the test. We'll fit it." But wait a minute. Before that, David did something that he should not have done. David hatched a lie here. Now, David was going to hide himself in the field, and he put Jonathan up to lie. Jonathan fed his daddy that lie. Now, I'm going to say this. Nowhere in the Scripture does it record anything else about it, but it was not right for David to lie. Let me just say this. Somebody said, "Well, it's better to tell a little white lie than to stir up something." No, it's not. There is no such thing, friend, as a white lie. I want you to understand that. So if you're a wife or a husband, and you lie, your husband or your wife, I mean, you just tell a lie to keep, you say, "I tell a lie to keep peace."
in the end, you won't keep peace. When that comes out on you, that you have lied, it will damage the other one's confidence in you. If you tell a little lie to your children, and they'll find it out one day, and it'll damage them about telling them the truth. I'd tell my children the truth about everything. Everything. And hope y'all read between the lines what I'm saying there. Everything. I would not lie to them when they're kids and tell them all kinds of stuff. I would tell them the truth about everything. Amen. The truth, brother, God majors on that. And so David lied. David should not have lied. All right. Now, it was unwise what David did about lying here. That is, it's never right to lie. Remember, Abraham lied about Sarah and he almost lost her. He lied twice. He lied in Egypt. He lied to Abimelech. And you know that carried over to Isaac. When Isaac was grown, Isaac lied about Rebekah. Now, where'd he get that from? He got it from his daddy. Amen. Now, you, by the way, you want your children to grow up and lie you and lie other people? Then, my friend, you teach them lie and they'll do it. You know, there's many people lie on their job. You say, preacher, I have to lie on my job. I wouldn't lie. If I was selling a product, I wouldn't lie about it. I wouldn't care what headquarters said about it. I'd find me another job before I'd lie to people. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to lie to anybody if I can help it. If I can help it, I don't want to lie to anybody. By the way, a half-truth's not the truth either. Amen. Half-truth. You remember Abraham? He said, well, she is my sister. And technically, he was, I don't like that technical stuff. Well, technically, no. You either lied or you didn't lie. Amen. Verse 16, if thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. Now, it's never right to lie. Now, let me just read you Colossians 3:9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now, he's saying this. He said sinners lie each other. Lost people tell lies. That's what they do. So you and I are not to lie each other in any circumstance. We're not to lie each other. You say, but preacher, if we tell the truth, it's going to hurt things. No, sir, the truth never hurts. The truth is right. The truth will always stand. But now let's get back to David's decision. It was a very wise decision, seeing how that Jonathan did not believe that Saul was going to kill David. Jonathan was one of these. And by the way, sometimes I'm just going to tell you, you can be too optimistic. Sometimes you can be too optimistic. You know, people do that in the church. Oh, but they're such good people. Are they? If they're not faithful to church, if they're not giving their tithes, if they're immoral in their thinking, their talking, or their deeds, they're not good people. And I was reading the other day in the book of Numbers, and I believe it was, I'm trying to think who it was that got killed. When Aaron's sons, I believe it was, had offered the strange fire, and the people said, ye have killed the people of the Lord. Brother, and then even when they rebelled against Moses, they called them the people of the Lord. Let me tell you something. There are people in the church, and the problem is you take up for who you like in the church. If who you like does something, it's okay to do it. Well, the Word of God has no respect to persons. Amen. And it's not who we like. Sometimes we have to deal with things that goes against the very people that we fellowship with, that goes against the very people that we like. But we have to do what's right. And so here Jonathan was a little bit optimistic, you know, oh, daddy's not going to do anything to you. Well, David knew different.
Friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, April 25th, Sunday, April the 26th. We come to the end of the month of April for broadcasting here on the 30-minute broadcast. I certainly appreciate you for listening. I'd like to know where you're listening to us from this week. If you'd like to write me, we'll give you our mailing address at the end of our radio broadcast today. And until next week, this is Brother Ricky saying goodbye. God bless you now is my prayer.
Jesus.
Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, he who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.